Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity to be in your house this evening, Lord, the house of prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we don't just come here out of a ritualistic practice, Lord, or to fulfill an obligation of a need that we think that we must do to be in the house of God. But Lord, we came with thanksgiving in our heart, just as we sang, Lord. And we came, Lord God, and we're truly glad to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, we love you, and we thank you, we praise you, Lord God. We come here together, Lord, with an expectation, Father God, not of man, not of schooling or education, Lord God, but of the Spirit of life. Lord God, knowing that you speak to our hearts and our minds, and we know nothing lest you grant it or give it to us. And Lord God, help us to understand and to comprehend the heights and depths of your word. Open up your word to us, Almighty God, that we can understand and comprehend, Lord God, your ways. And Father, we know it's written, Lord God, that your ways are not our ways. And Lord God, help us, Lord, to not walk in the way our ways, but let us walk in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, as the Scriptures command us to be. Father, we thank you. We love you and praise you. In the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Young, be seated. Hallelujah. Truly wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Sister Vivian just spoke with her for a brief moment there on the phone and asked him for prayer for her sister. Said she fell down and was in some pain. And we'll remember her in prayer, brothers and sisters. We're serving a mighty God. He's the same according to the Scriptures, brothers and sisters. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And it doesn't matter what popular religion says. It doesn't matter what the doctors or the theologian says. What matters is what he says. His word is true, and let every man be a liar. And his word said that he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I believe that. And when he walked among men, he was a healer. And I believe that he's a healer today. Amen. And I believe that when we call upon the name of the Lord, that he is there to touch us and to minister to us, to heal us, deliver us. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. He is an awesome God. His hand is not short. We're serving a powerful, awesome, mighty God. Is your God real tonight? Amen. Is your God some historic account of a history book that maybe you've read? Is your God just something that you read about and heard all these great things from? Or is your God a distant hope that's going to come back someday maybe for you? Or is your God a God that is alive and well and is here on this day and hour to meet your needs and to fulfill? Amen. My God's alive today. Amen. And he's here to meet our needs. He's here to fellowship with us. The Bible said when two or three of us come together in his name that he's in the midst. I believe that. I'm not looking for him to come someday. I'm thinking, well, praise God, I know that I came in the name of the Lord, and I know that you came in the name of the Lord, and I say he's in the midst with us, amen. You know, people don't understand that sometimes. They think, well, Brother Rob, you're just taking away all hope. No, I'm walking in the hope. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not taking away hope. You might be hoping to have eternal life. I already have it, amen. He's done give it to me. He promised it. He's given it. And I speak it and I believe it, amen. And you know, people think that when they hear a man talk by the revelation of the Lord, or when they hear a minister speaking by the will of God and by the mind of God, they took up stones to stone the Lord Jesus for that. He said, for what good works have I done that you want to stone me? And they said, not for the good works you've done, but you're a mere man making yourself to be God. And brothers and sisters, he come to bring love to those people. And it's the same way with us. We come to love people and to help people. And they don't many times like us, because the Scriptures say that. It said that they hated him first and they'll hate you also. So we're not looking for popularity. We're here to preach God's word. Amen. We're here to minister the word of God and to love people and help them, and even to do good to them that don't like us. Amen. And the ones that do all manner of evil and speak against us, we do good to them because we're commanded to do that, and it gives us the opportunity to show Christian love and show the attributes of God. Brothers and sisters, we as Christians, we don't get beside ourselves in the way of malice and anger and bitterness and wrath and strife and jealousies and envy. That's all the way of man. That's the worldly way. We love people and help them and do anything that we can. And even when they do all manner of evil against you, you just love them and keep going on. Hallelujah. Isn't it awesome to be able to exercise Christianity? Amen. If everybody came up to you and hugged you and said, I love you, boy, it would be a wonderful world. But we'd never get to exercise the attributes of God. You realize that? Where would we bring the attributes of Christ? Because the attributes of Christ show their strength and show their love and show power of the supernatural, the spiritual world is in opposition. You know, if Jesus wasn't beaten and crucified on the cross, you would have never known him in the resurrection. You know, if he wouldn't have been ridiculed and despised and beaten and all the evil things said against him, you never would have saw him practicing with no guile in his mouth or to go quiet before the slaughter. You never would have saw those attributes of him unless the opposition was there. And brothers and sisters, it comes and we stand and we praise God and rejoice in persecution because we know that that's what the Word says. Amen. And you think, well, this is going to come from the heathens, from the sodomites and the drunkards and all that. No, Jesus got the nail prints in the house of his friends. You'll find the persecutions and the tribulation coming from the house of your friends. You know, brothers and sisters that you would say in the Lord. And this way it gets to genuinely, truly test your love for God and Christianity. Amen. It's better to go through these things on this side as on the other side. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me over to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. We're just going to read a verse there. You know, brothers and sisters, when you speak things by the Spirit, while you're turning over there, I'll say a few little comments. When you speak by the Spirit, you're not speaking by the natural or the carnal. When you're speaking by the Spirit, and it's the Spirit that's invisible. It's the Spirit that's pure. It's the Spirit that's clean. It's the Spirit that's eternal. And when you speak by the Spirit, you speak of those things that are virtuous, righteous, holy, and godly. But when you speak by the mind of man, then it's carnal. It's death. It's enmity with God. You understand? It's the life of humanity. And see, what happens is many times people take and they study religion or they study different things, and they put a spiritual twist, we might say, to a carnal thought. But see, that's not the will of God or the mind of God. You see, we're not supposed to reason things out in our human mind. We're supposed to take and receive by faith. You see, if we carnally reason the things of God, we'll reason ourselves right out of eternal life. How many of you saw Jesus hanging on the cross? See, you must believe that by faith. Where did that faith come? From hearing the Word of God. And you take and believe that by faith. But you see, we will never please God or really know God unless it's by faith. So when the faith comes by hearing the Word of God, we're commanded to hear the Word of God. We have to learn to recognize the difference between a mind of thought of carnality or a mind of thought of spiritual life. Now what happens is even Christian people oppose speaking by the Spirit of God. But if we would take simply what Jesus said, I could take and quote what Jesus said and the Word of God says to me and quote that, and people would number me as evil, number me as a cult, just as they did him. And he simply spoke life. He didn't bring anything to himself. He was pointed all back to the glory of God. And the thing is I could point everything to the glory of God, nothing to me, and people will still, they'll have a problem because I believe what the Word of God says. But brothers and sisters, this Word of God's true. Just like I said, the Bible says that let every man be a liar, but this Word be true. So it doesn't matter if I'm popular. It doesn't matter if you agree or disagree. What matters is if it's in the Word of God, amen. We're not looking again for popularity, amen. We're looking to stay in the Word. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter right here. Maybe I'll read a little bit of it here, but we're going to go on to another passage of scriptures. But right here, the first verse says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Let's go on now a little bit. We're going to use that for a kind of a sounding board, maybe we might say, or a foundation here. It says, "Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we?" Isn't that something? So think about where the dwelling place of God is. They're out digging around looking for the Ark of the Covenant. But we know where the dwelling place of the Lord is. Amen. Back to verse 4. It says, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice, Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You see how he's going back to an Old Testament thing, an event there, and he brought it right back into a present day truth. You see, taking something of history, of the first dimension, we might say, or in the bodily perspective, or in the water world, or the under the law, however you want to say it, and then we went back and he brought it into a present truth. When we think about the earth opening up there in the Old Testament and swallowing them up, you know, we think the earth opened up and swallowed them up, and we think, wow, what a terrible thing. All of those elders out there in the wilderness. You see, but the youth made it over. But you see, this elderly part of you, many times the firstborn, when we think of being born again, we think of, you know, born again, so we think of a second perspective. But when we think of this first part, the elder part, many times the cares of the world, this whole earthly part of you opens up and swallows it up. You see, and then and you die. Just as they died in the wilderness. Many people die in that same kind of wilderness. All of those things, brothers and sisters, that we read, the Bible says that those are shadows of the things to come. We're talking about now. We are the coming. We have come. We're walking now in the Lord, in the presence of a living God. And we look at those things as an examples for today, to know where we're at, who we are in Christ. Amen. Let's read on here just a little bit more. I'll probably just finish this third chapter off. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, if I took the last verse of this and the very first verse. The first verse is, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. What is your profession? What is it, brothers and sisters? Now we go down to the last verse. I want you to think about that for a minute. It says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. As we read here, if I backed up two more verses, let me say a couple things, just laying a little bit of a foundation. It says, in whom he swore that they should not enter into his rest, but them that believe not. So we're talking about unbelief. It says right here, verse 17 says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Thinking here for a moment of this high priest of our confession, just taking time talking to you a little bit here this evening, that we need to be careful what our confession is. We as men, the Bible says that he has given us power, brothers and sisters, to be the sons of God. That's my confession. He has given me this power. He died. He shed his blood. He granted this to me. It wasn't something I earned. It's something that was given to me. Now, the thing is if we would talk about the story of Jesus and what was the purpose of him coming to this earth, we know that the Bible teaches very clear that the transgression of the law is sin. We know that the Bible is very clear, teaches that the sting of sin is death. The Bible also says that the last enemy of God to be conquered is death. The last enemy. Now see, some people think that that hasn't been conquered yet. But you see, that would violate the word of God in the scriptures if that's the way you think. You see, Jesus had fulfilled. When he hung his head on the cross of Calvary and said, what did he say? Do you remember what he said? He said what? It is finished. What was finished? Everything, brothers and sisters, that had to do with man was finished. You see, you have to believe that. When he hung his head there and said, "It is finished," what was finished? The finishing, brothers and sisters, the abolishing of death is what took place there. Now, you see, now we have to be careful, brothers and sisters, how we speak. If Jesus Christ, if we're going to consider him being the high priest of our profession, or we could say confession, then we need to be careful what we confess. Do you realize that in the Old Testament there's a scripture that says that he will give you the fruit of your thoughts? How do you think? What is your confession? What have you been taught in church? Do you realize that we're supposed to go to church to learn how to confess, to learn how to profess, to learn how to think? The Bible said, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." So if the Bible's teaching us that we're supposed to have this mind in us, the same kind of mind that was in Jesus Christ, how did Jesus speak? How did he speak when he walked among men? "I am the Prince of Life." He spoke in a positive way, brothers and sisters. And I'm not going to go into negative and positive teaching here. But I'm saying he spoke things. He knew who he was. He wasn't wavering. He knew who he was. I want you to turn your Bibles with me now to 1 John. I want you to go over to 1 John, the first chapter. Now, I could quote some scripture to you, and I'm just going to save some things here this evening. I pray and hope that you could receive them. And I'm saying these things for a reason. See, if I could challenge you in the way you think and the way you've been taught to go to the scriptures and consider the word, then you should be something of some kind of way saying, you know what? If you get your eyes open, revelation only comes if God would open up your eyes and grant it to you. It takes God opening up your ears, because when Jesus was here, he said, "Though you have eyes, you do not see. Though you have ears, you do not hear." So the thing is, I could have people sitting in my midst right now that think they could see and think that they could hear because they hear the vibration from the preacher. Their ears are vibrating from the vibration coming forth out, and they're seeing with their eyes, and they think, "Well, I could see." But see, that has nothing to do with it. Had nothing to do with it when Jesus said it. It has nothing to do with it when I speak it right now, because I'm speaking by the same Spirit. The same Spirit dwells within me that dwells within Christ Jesus. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead is dwelling now within this mortal body, and it will change me in the moment and the twinkling of an eye. You see, that's what the Bible says, that we have to enter into that rest, that we have to encourage one another with that particular word. Now, I'm not going to turn you there, but everybody knows the scriptures pretty well. If we were going to say, what is the Romans road to salvation? Just about everybody in this church at one time or another has been Baptist, and the Baptists are the strongest I know for preaching salvation, a wonderful thing. And it's the elementary things of God. I mean, it's the simplistic elementary things. Amen. I remember hearing it when I was in a Baptist church camp, being a child at 12 years old, still got the certificate, I think, that, you know, where I had made a confession of the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and this and that, and they gave me a little certificate at a church camp. You know, praise God. You know, that's a wonderful thing. I heard the message of Jesus Christ, and I knew that he was my God, my Savior, my salvation. He's the door, the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way to enter in except by him. Amen. That's the Bible. This is good Bible doctrine, brothers and sisters. This is the foundation of everything that we believe and stand on. Even though the scripture does say, once we come to that revelation and to that understanding, not laying that same foundation of repentance, you know, over and over again, it commands us to go on into doctrines of laying on of hands. People don't understand that. I'm telling you. It's not being utilized in the churches today. Doctrine of laying on hands. It says doctrine of baptisms or baptism. Bible says one God, one faith, one baptism. But we have a water baptism, a blood baptism, and a spirit. You have to differentiate. It's still one baptism, just like the Bible says. You see, there's one Spirit, but then the Bible talks about the seven spirits of God in Revelation. You see, we have to understand that. There's one God, but it says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. There's one baptism, water, blood, spirit. So wait a minute. Well, you say there's one God, but then God the Father, and you say the Son and the Holy Ghost, that's still one God. When you make him three persons, you're an heir. No scripture for that. I used to teach that doctrine. I was taught that. But I can't teach that no more. Because I understand that I am a body, soul, spirit, and I'm one person. And when we say person, it's from the word personification, and Jesus was the personification of God, the invisible God that no man has ever seen, personified itself in the fullness in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the personification of God. The invisible God that no man has seen personified itself in the Lord Jesus. He said he came in his Father's name, Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Don't you remember there when Philip came along and said to Jesus, he said, "Hey, Jesus, when will we see the Father?" Go read it for yourself, John 14. "Hey, when will we see the Father?" He says, "How can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long?" Now that's what Jesus said. So what are you going to do? You're going to go get two thrones. You're going to have the Father on one and Jesus on one. You see, you're an heir. You don't understand spiritual things. The Bible says one throne, one God, one faith, one baptism. But we have a water, blood, spirit baptism. You say, "Well, how do you make that one?" It's all one, brothers and sisters, in the mind of God, but it's differentiated through an expression. God's differentiated. Body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, natural, physical, spiritual. You see, this is what you have to learn to do to understand God. I'm not trying to make things complicated. You have things complicated when you get off out of the scriptures. When you make God three persons, you've complicated things because that cannot be scriptural. When there's one God, how do I have three persons? When I used to be in that kind of mindset, you know, I'd get down to pray and I'd say, "Oh, Jesus, I need some help today, Lord Jesus. I need you to help direct me and guide me." And I'd talk to him for a few minutes. I'd think, "Oh, hold on a minute. You know, I don't want to make God the Father jealous. You know, I need to talk to him for a minute. Oh, then I got to go talk to the Holy Ghost for a moment." It sounds like I'm mocking, brother, sister, but I'm saying, you see, that's carnal mind, carnal thinking. These three are one, the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says God is one. You say, "Well, are you a oneness preacher?" No, I'm not a oneness preacher. Are you a threeness preacher? No, I'm not a threeness preacher. Are you a two-ness preacher? No, I'm not a two-ness preacher. I'm a blood-bought, born-again Christian. That's what I am, amen? And I've listened to oneness doctrine, and they got some awesome truth in it. I've listened to some threeness doctrine, they got some awesome truth. Jesus said, "I made myself twain, both Lord and Christ." There's our two-ness. Why don't we start a new work called the two-nesses? You know, the two-nesses and the trinities can fight for a while. And then the trinities and the onenesses can fight. You see, brothers and sisters, they're right. They've all got Bible. You realize that when you get into some of the understanding, and we'll keep a theme of thought here and go back here, but just try to make allowances for the Lord to speak to you. You see, we got people that separate from one another because they disagree with one another, and they're both right. You say, "Well, Brother Rob, are you a pre-tribulation rapture? Are you a post-tribulation rapture? Are you a mid-tribulation rapture? What are you, Brother Rob?" Well, I'm not a rapture. The word rapture is not in your Bible. First off, that's where we got to start off, first of all. So if you're going to try to hold me to some kind of a doctrine you call rapture, first off, we got to prove to you that you won't find it in the Bible. And if you're going to hold me to some kind of doctrine and say that, "Well, if you don't believe in the Trinity, I just can't fellowship you," well then first go in your Bible and show me one place in the Scriptures where it says Trinity. So how can you tell me I must believe in a Trinity when it's not even a biblical word? They come from the Catholic Church. That's why I say sometimes our Protestant people are more Catholic than the Catholics are. They're not too much difference nowadays, I'm telling you the truth. They turned in our Protestant churches into a bunch of religious bless me clubs. No different than the Catholic Church. Now, just bear with me a little bit. So when we talk about rapture, we'll say, "Do you believe in a rapture?" Well, I believe in what the Bible says. The Bible talks about a catching up. So we use the term rapture, and we keep our mind and our thoughts directed properly and scripturally. Just as we say, you know, "Well, do you believe in the millennium?" Well, millennium's not a biblical word, but the Bible does believe in a thousand-year reign. So it doesn't offend me when you say millennium. And it doesn't offend me when you say rapture if you keep your dimensional perspectives in order when you speak about it. You see, if we're going to talk about a catching away or a catching up, I would be some kind of a fool if I didn't believe in that. Now, what we have to do is we got to say, "Well, how do you believe in it?" Now, you say, "Well, I believe in post-tribulation rapture." That's after the tribulation. One would say, "I believe in pre-tribulation rapture." And you say, "That's before the tribulation." Now, the post-tribulation guy that's going to get with you, and he's going to say, "Well, look, brother, I have aught with you. And I'm going to go to the Scriptures and I'm going to show you why I believe in post-tribulation rapture." Because the Bible speaks very clear that there are elect in the tribulation period. Now, I believe in pre-tribulation rapture. But what I'm saying now is I also better believe that there's some elect in the tribulation, or I'm going to have to say the Word of God is a lie. So now how can I go to this guy that's believing post-tribulation rapture and get upset with him when he's got Bible for what he's saying? Maybe I should do like the Bible says and hear the end of the matter. Sometimes people think, well, you don't believe like I believe, so they shut you off. And they don't hear the end of the matter. But the Bible said a wise man hears the end of the matter. Is that correct? Okay. So now, if we have saints in the tribulation period, then there must be some sort of a rapture possibly after the tribulation period. Then we also find, brothers and sisters, when we go and read in Thessalonians, when we read over there, it says that we ensure one another with these saints. You know, knowing that we can rest in the perspective and have peace and encourage one another with the words there. Knowing that the Lord Jesus being the light and we being the light of the world. Remember the scriptures say, you know, not to put a bushel or whatever over our candle. We're the light of the world. So if we're the light of the world and these things of tribulation is going to happen as gross darkness is taking over this world, the light has got to be taken out. And we being the light, we know we've got to be taken out. But you see, brothers and sisters, the thing is that the elect that they're speaking about in the tribulation are the natural Jew. They're the God's elect. Do you realize that? The natural Jew, the ones that rejected God, the ones that took and crucified him there, are his elect. He said, I got these nail prints in the house of my friends. Ain't that what he said? So, the thing is, brothers and sisters, is we know that there's elect in the tribulation, but it's the natural Jew because the dimensions change over. I could go into a lot of thought here of the 483, adding that 7 to it to bring for the fulfillment of the Daniel's last week and bring all that in. And I could show you how it goes back to a natural Jew. And it's going to switch back over that, and they will be in the tribulation. They rejected the Lord and the salvation of the Lord, and they will find themselves coming in by their own blood and in by fire. Right there and going through the tribulation. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, do you believe that this body one day is going to go through a metamorphosis or a transfiguration? That's another word that the Bible uses for where we don't use rapture. It's called transfiguration. And I say yes. This body will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It'll be changed from mortal to immortal. It'll be changed from terrestrial to celestial. This is a promise and it's what the scripture says. But, brothers and sisters, you've also got to stay with the Word of God in the Scriptures. You remember what I said to the little sister that came here and visited one time? And she came to me. Now, listen. She came to me, and she asked me a question. She says, well, Brother Rom, do you believe that the rapture is already taking place? And I said, yes, don't you? Now, see, right there, that would sever everybody from you. Everybody would break fellowship with you, want no more to do with you. Say, this guy's a lunatic. He's out of his mind. He just took away the whole church world teaching. He took away all hope and everything. He said the rapture's already taken place, and I know it couldn't have because I'm still here. So? But see, did I lie to the woman when I told her that? No, I did not. She asked me straight out, do you believe that the rapture's already taken place? Now, I said yes for a reason, because I believe it. But do I believe in the rapture has taken place to this bodily perspective? Now listen, I'm going to read some scripture to you to help you understand some things I'm saying. I'm still laying a foundation for you. We ain't even got started yet. Now, you can't teach the Word of God in revelational truths in 15 minutes. Okay, so we're laying a foundation still. When we get a foundation, we're going to get to build on it, right? Amen. So the woman says, do you believe the rapture's already taken place? I said, yes. You say, well, why would you believe that, Brother Rob? Because the Bible says, brothers and sisters, let me ask you this before I answer the question. Let me help you out just a little bit more. Do you believe, Brother Rob, that Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago? I say, yes, I do. That's everything that we have all hope in and all faith in is in his crucifixion and resurrection. Okay, but then yet, the Word of God teaches a present-day crucifixion that we're crucified all the day long, trampling the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ under our feet. Now, let me ask you a question. If he was crucified 2,000 years ago, how are you going to trample his blood under your feet today? Now, you explain that to me. I could explain it to you, but can you explain it to me? Now, if there's a present-day crucifixion, and there was a 2,000-year-ago crucifixion, and we know that he was caught up. The Bible says that the red dragon was laying there to devour the child just as soon as it was born. But the Bible says that the child immediately as it was born was caught up to the throne of God, to heaven. So the thing is that if I believe that the rapture's already taken place, then I must believe that I'm already in heaven. And you say, well, man, if you believe that you're in heaven, you done took away all our hope again. No, I'm not taking away your hope. I'm teaching you to believe in it. The Bible says some things, brothers. It says, number one, it says that we're dwelling in heavenly places. So is the Word of God a lie? It can't be a lie. Now, let's go back and talk about your rapture for just a moment, Lord. If I'm dwelling in heavenly places, must mean I've been caught up there. The Bible said that we transformate our mind into the mind of Christ. Now, there's a daily transformation of mind. Brother Pike, a wonderful man of God, he taught what we call transology. When you use ology on something, means it's a study of. You study numerology, it's a study of numbers. If you study, you know, astrology, you're studying the stars. When you study transology, it means that you put a study to the translations. And you say the translation. Now, we're talking biblical terminology now. The Bible talks about being translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The Bible teaches that as a present truth and something that's taken place. It said that we've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The Bible says now we are the sons of God. We're going to read some scripture here in a minute. I'm just telling you some things and we're going to consider it. The Bible, when we think of transology, again, we think of the translation in the spirit. Translated in the marvelous kingdom of God, spiritual work. The spirit, brothers and sisters, is caught away with Christ and hid in. There's your rapture. It's already taken place. The spirit has been caught away, hid in with Christ. Where's Christ? He's in heaven. Our spirit has already been caught away, sealed in, hid away with Him. Praise God. Nothing could pluck you out of the hand of God. If you're in the hand of God, that means you're in heaven with Him. Nothing could pluck you out of His hand. No principality, no power. Nothing. Death, hell, nothing. Okay, why? Because you've done been caught away with Christ and hid in with Him. Get in your Bible. Read it. You know, I challenge you. Don't believe what I say in the perspective. Just believe me. Study it out yourself and find. Prove me wrong. I'm not offended. You come. I don't disagree with that. Don't offend me. Hey, praise God. Come to me with your scriptures and word. I'm giving you as much word as I know. So then we say translation in the spirit. Transformation. Soul. Transfiguration. All biblical terminologies. I'm not some new age freak teaching you something that's not in the Bible. Transfiguration to the body. Now you see, this is why they're teaching a future rapture is because they have not seen, because they're carnal, they're natural, and they only believe what they see with their eyes. And these eyes will deceive you. The Bible calls these lying vanities. You understand that? So we don't go by what we see. We're not waiting to see something with our eyes, or we're just as guilty as Doubting Thomas. We believe, brothers and sisters, by faith. We walk with God. We fellowship with God. He sups with us and we sup with Him. We've been caught away, hid in with Christ. That's a rapture. Now the body hasn't done that yet. But why do I teach only the things that you could see? Now if you want to talk about this Thessalonian change, you know, where the dead in Christ shall rise up and meet Him in the air and dust us and us and the eastern sky roll back, it's correct and it's right. But brothers and sisters, that's not our hope. Now, don't misunderstand me. This body that's already dead. You see, some people thinking that death is when they throw you in a box. See, they don't understand. I've been crucified with Christ. Read it yourself, Galatians, the second chapter. I've been crucified with Christ. The life that I now live, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. 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 Listen to me. Faith in the Son of God. What is faith? Faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Okay? So what part of that do I live in? Think about it now, brothers and sisters. Speak those things that are not. Believe all those things. Speak by the Spirit. This is what I'm trying to do. Speak to you by the Spirit. So how do we speak, brothers and sisters? What is your profession? What is your confession? You see, brothers and sisters, now let's go to the scriptures and read, because I'm going to read some things and I'm going to teach you how to think properly. I want you to turn with me to 1 John. I'm going to give you something to think about here this evening. Now listen, the Bible says that we have to hear the end of the matter. I'm going to read right here. I'm going to go to verse 7. 1 John, first chapter, verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I say hallelujah, praise God. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now you guys hear that? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We could say there is a gap between 8 and 9 as far as the east is from the west. Do you believe that? Now in verse 10, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Okay, the Romans 3:23, we were talking about the Romans Road to Salvation, says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Is that true? Okay. So I'm going to stand here before you tonight, and I'm going to speak as a man for a moment. I'm not speaking as a son of God. Now, we're going to vindicate that scripture, too. I had a preacher draw up with me. He said, I can't believe you call yourself a son of God. Well, if he's the firstborn of many brethren, and the thing is if I'm a brother to him, amen, and I've been birthed into the kingdom of God, and I was born again in the Spirit, then I can speak through sonship. And I'm going to give you a scripture for that also. I'm not speaking by man. If you want to talk to me, I'm a son of Howard Koons. He was a natural man, walked amongst this earth, still walking amongst this earth, flew airplanes all around this earth, and he got married, brought me into this world. You know, hey, you know what? He brought me into this world, and it's appointed 70 years, you know, as a promise. And some don't even get that. But you know what? I have a heavenly Father where the Spirit of Christ, I have a Father. Amen. That's eternal. That's born. See, I'm birthed. That's my Father. You see, that's my eternal Father. That doesn't bring disrespect to my natural Father, brothers and sisters, but my eternal Father brings me eternal life. He's my spiritual Father, brings me into the Spirit and births me in the Spirit. That's what eternal life is. Eternal life isn't for that natural man. Eternal life is for the spirit man. The natural man must die. The Bible says very clear that it must die. So you think, well, you know, someday they're going to throw me in a box and I'm going to get the inheritance of God. I'm walking in inheritance. The Bible said that I'm joint heirs. What is an heir? Somebody that has the inheritance. I'm joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Amen? I'm not waiting on anything. He's already finished it at Calvary, died for me, shed His blood for me, and gave me everything the Bible says that pertains unto life. That's something to rejoice about. That's why I could come to church and I could sing about being glad. Hallelujah. Because I'm truly glad. I'm a King's kid. Amen? Hallelujah. I like the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. It's wonderful to live in the Word and believe the Word. I tell you, when doubt and unbelief is a killer. Get away from doubt and unbelief and start knowing who you are in Christ. It's what He done. I'm not up here boasting, well, I done all this. And I went to Bible college and done all this to earn that. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying Jesus gave it all to me. I can't work for this. I can't earn this. It's a free gift. He put my name down in the book of life before the world ever was. I tell you, God's awesome, ain't He? Amen. You love the Lord? Amen. Amen. Hang with me here for a moment. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to read verse 8 again. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. First off here, you're going to have to recognize and know that you're a sinner. When you recognize and know that you're a sinner and the sting of sin is death, you have no hope and you're lost. And when you come to recognize this and you confess your sins and you give them to the Lord Jesus, He takes them. Hallelujah. He took them upon His back. And by His stripes, brothers and sisters, we are healed. And of all of our iniquities and all the infirmities and everything, He took that punishment on the cross. And He did not do it in vain. Do you remember what He told the woman when she was caught in adultery? When they come to her, He told her, He said, go and sin no more. Now, would He have told her to do something that was impossible? No. He told her. Jesus said that. Would He tell somebody to go and sin no more if they cannot do it? Okay. Now, I want you to turn with me two chapters over to chapter 3. I'm not going to keep you much longer. I'm going to lay some things down right here in chapter 3. You go and chew on them. You eat them up. And you spit them out if you can. Swallow them up if you can. It might be a little bit bitter to the belly. I don't know. You just eat it and try it. Take that book and eat it up. Verse 3. Now, this is the word. This is not Baptist. It isn't Methodist. It isn't Catholic. It isn't Pentecostal. This is the Bible. This is the King James Bible. And we're going to read it and take it just for what it says. It's not hard to comprehend nor understand. Just get your ears open and your eyes open. Okay, verse 3. Chapter 3, 1 John, the third chapter, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, does that give me any reason that I could stand before you and say, hallelujah, I'm a son of God, praise the Lord, I believe the word. If you guys think I'm crazy or I'm a cult or whatever because I believe the word, hallelujah, I like it, amen. It doesn't matter to me. I love the word of God, amen, hallelujah. I think that that's pretty much settles that. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. So if somebody can't know me that way, maybe they're of the world. And if you're of the world, then that means what? Your father is the devil. You say, oh, Brother Rob, you can't talk that way. I'm just reading the word. I'm not adding to it, taking away from it. I'm just simply reading the word. Word's good, I tell you. Let's go on. I'm not trying to make anything complicated. I'm just simply reading the word. It's so simple to me. Maybe it's because the shucks came off my eyes. I don't know. Paul fought against this, and the shucks came off of his eyes, brothers and sisters, and he started preaching the word. But he was just religious before that. Get the shucks off of your eyes. Start seeing clearly, amen. I'm going to start over. We're going to start verse 3. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, brothers and sisters, it's speaking of truth right now. This isn't a hope for later, but it's saying the world doesn't see us of what we already are, nor they don't see him, but it's not speaking that way to us. You understand? We see good when good comes. We see clearly. But let's go on and read it. If you're worldly, you won't see it. If you're spiritual, you will see it. It says, now verse 2 again says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever, now listen here, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. How many believe that Jesus come and done away with sin and the law? Okay, but let's keep it in perspective here. Let's just read the scriptures. I like the word. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Do you believe that Jesus came and was manifested to take away your sins? How many believe that? I believe that. The Bible says it, I believe it. I say that when he said it, hung his head on the cross of Calvary and said it's finished, he said the reason he said it's finished, because he done just took away old brother Rob Coons' sin, amen. He took away sin, he took away, and the sin is the sting of death, he done took that away too, amen. That's why I'm eternal, that's why I'm living forever. Verse 5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. How many of you in him? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. How many of you are abiding in him? Hallelujah. He said, we abide in him and he abides in us. Amen. I'm abiding in him. Hallelujah. Woo. Boy, I tell you what, that's awesome, man. We've done been caught away. We've done been raptured over there in heavenly places. Amen. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Okay, now listen. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteous is righteous. He who doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now listen to this now. Now we're going back to the scripture in Hebrews right here where it said, he is the high priest of our profession. You gotta be careful how you talk now. Listen to me. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. How many of you in here are sinners tonight? Because if you are, you're of the devil. I'm going to get you in the altars. I'm going to cast that devil out of you for you could be a saint of God. I'm just talking about what Jesus has done for us, okay? We're staying in the Word. Don't get scared. We're in the Bible still. Amen. This ain't Pentecostal doctrine. This ain't Baptist doctrine. This ain't Jehovah Witness doctrine. This ain't Mormon doctrine. This is Bible. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. How many believe that he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil? And the works of the devil was sin. And how many of you can believe that when Jesus said it's finished, that it was? I believe it. Because if it wasn't done then, it ain't never going to happen. Hallelujah. Jesus done it all. Now listen to this, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. But you know, my confession is that I'm born again. The Bible said that lest you be born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible says. If you're not born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Now this is fundamental foundation doctrine, that you must be born again. I believe that. Okay? So whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Oh gosh, you mean to tell me that's the word of God? I was in a church not long ago, and the preacher got up and said that he was a sinner and he sins every day, and he told his congregation that. That's a good high priest of his confession. When you go around saying that you're a sinner and you sin every day, you're spitting right in the face of the Lord Jesus, and you're twisting and trampling his blood under your feet. And you're saying, Jesus, your blood isn't good enough for me. Jesus, I don't believe what you've done on the cross was good enough for me. Jesus, that's what you're saying. Now, I know I speak rather, I don't know if I want to say crude or rude. It's a little of both. And I don't want to offend nobody, but brothers and sisters, it's either Jesus did it or he didn't. And I believe he did it. That's my faith. That's my hope. That's everything. Now let's read on here just a minute. I'm going to go back to verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifest. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. It's manifested before you. I'm living in righteousness in Christ. Hallelujah. He gave me the Holy Ghost. He gave me the power to walk beyond reproach, to keep myself unspotted from the things of the world. He gave me a spirit, brothers and sisters. I can't do that as a man. I cannot do that on my own. The man part was crucified with Christ and no longer lives, and now it's the Christ part that's dwelling and living. Amen. It's the word. We got to stay with the word. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So if we go back to verse 8, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now let me say this. This is our high priest of our confession. I'm confessing that Jesus died for me. Jesus shed his blood for me. Jesus abolished death. The Bible said that we're more than conquerors. The reason we're more than conquerors is because Jesus done it all. And death and hell was conquered, brothers and sisters. He gave Peter the keys. Now think about it. Do you believe what Jesus done for you? I'm not sitting here boasting in myself. I'm boasting in what he's done. Now, if I tell you that I'm a sinner and I sin every day, I'm going to stand here and tell you that I'm of the devil. I'm not going to teach you people that you're of the devil. I'm going to teach you that you are the children of God, the sons of God, that he came and died for you, inscribed you in the nail prints of his hand, that he loved you so much that he done that for you and gave his life. Amen. He put your name down in the book of life. He perfected you once and for all by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. That's what the Bible says. Now the thing is, if you believe that, then you believe that you're perfect. He says, be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. If he said he's perfected us once and for all by the works of Christ at Calvary, but then there's another scripture that says that the fivefold ministry was sent for the perfecting of the saints. This is what I'm doing tonight. I'm bringing you the knowledge of the perfection tonight, for you could be perfected in his word and know that his word is true and every man be a liar. Now the thing is, the Bible said that his ears are closed to the cry or the prayer of the sinner. So if I teach you that you're a sinner, saying, well, there's no need to pray because God ain't going to hear your prayer. But we got to stay with the Bible. I'm not going to teach you that you're sinners. If you've been born of God. Now if you come in this door and never been born again, I'm going to say you're a sinner and you have fallen short of the glory of God. And the thing is if you're a sinner, you need to repent of your sins and you need to confess your sins before the living God. And repentance means to turn away from them things. Come out of the world and be a separate people. Confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, your God, your Savior. Amen. And when you believe that and you confess that, he's the high priest of your confession. And he'll grant his spirit to you. The Bible talks about there's a sin that's unto death and there's a sin that's not. We need to believe the word and stay in the scriptures and stay with the word of God. Now the thing is, brothers and sisters, you say, well, Brother Rob, the Bible also says this, said, blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. And let me tell you something. I'm preaching a doctrine by the word of God here tonight. Does Brother Rob stumble? Does he stagger? Have I ever fell on my face? Yes, I have. But I'm blessed of God because he's not going to impute it to sin to me. Because if God imputed it to sin to me, it would be death. Do you understand that? Now the thing is where I've been perfected and sealed in and things is a spiritual work. You won't see it. We just read that. You know, it's not appearing to them in that perspective. They're not going to see it that way. But we have to bring it into a manifestation. And the way we manifest it is the same way Jesus done. No different. Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We've got the same spirit dwelling in us, and we bring it into a manifestation for the world can see good when good comes. The Jesus that the people out there in this world are going to see is the Christ in you, the hope of glory. This one that's coming back for the Jew, these Gentiles out here, it's over then. They're not going to say, oh, look up there in the sky, here comes Jesus. Hallelujah, praise God. Oh, forgive me of my sins. It's already forgotten about then. It ain't going to work that way. When he comes back, those ones that are looking up are going to fall as dead on the ground. You understand that? They're going to see God. And as the shenu, the saw eyes are going to come out, they're going to just absolutely, brothers and sisters, melt away to nothing. That's the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he's coming back with an iron fist. You see, brothers and sisters, their day's today. Their day is, this is why ye that win souls are wise. This is why we got to go forth with the word of God, the power of God, the power of salvation. Jesus had given us the spirit of truth and life. And he commanded us to go into the world and preach the gospel. And those people that are in this world need to hear the word of God. And it's going to come forth by we, the sons of God. That's your duty. That's your obligation. That's your calling. We got to go to the world, we got to love them, and we got to bring the good news of the gospel. Now the thing is, brothers and sisters, when we're talking to people that are just absolutely don't know God, the things we're speaking about tonight, we're speaking to you as unto spirituals. Trying to bring you into some revelation of the word for you can change your confession and start speaking who you are in Christ. We need to be careful how we speak. Because if we say that we're a sinner and sin every day, we're saying, Jesus, you ain't, what you done wasn't good enough. We don't need to think that way. We need to say, thank you, Jesus, for washing my sin away. If he put it from as far as the east is from the west, and he made you a new creature in Christ Jesus, the old creature, the first man, after the Adamic nature of Adam, that was the sinful part of you. But it was crucified with Christ. Don't you have faith? Don't you believe it was crucified and done away with? What did you take it and get it baptized for? Was it just your little ritualistic game? I like what a man came to me the other night. This guy was a Mormon. And he has a Baptist supervisor. And he's wanting to talk to me about the Bible. And he says, well, let me ask you a question. I mean, if anybody in this world would understand baptism, wouldn't it be the Baptist? That's their name, the Baptist. But he said, I talked to this guy and he told me he didn't even think it was necessary to be baptized to have salvation. So could he understand the scriptures being a Baptist and even understand baptism when the Bible said not laying again the foundation but going into doctrines of baptism? Now if I understand the doctrines of baptism, am I going to tell somebody, oh, you don't need to be baptized? If Jesus our God, if he condescended down and come among men and he thought it was necessary to be baptized, then why would I teach anybody that it's not necessary? I don't think it's necessary to be baptized. That's foolish doctrine. Do you agree with me? Brothers and sisters, I could preach all night. I'm not tired. I'm not weary. Man, when you get in the Word of God, I find strength and liberty. Hallelujah. I love the Word. Now you're saying, man, you just went into doctrine on sin. Now you're going to go into baptism. We'll be here for a while. Well, we could. If he was truly drawn and hungering and thirsting after righteousness, we can go all night. But brothers and sisters, but you know, it's the Word. You know, it's funny, you send kids to school and you take them 12 years to learn for them, go get a job and hold down a job, but we can't take enough time in church. You know, come on. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to finish the little thought there about the Mormon coming to me. So he's asking me, say, now, if I need to understand baptism, I should go to the Baptist. And I would think that would be reasonable. But I have to agree with them. Now, am I shooting at the Baptist? No. Because there's so many flavors of Baptists. Now, like I say, brothers and sisters, I was speaking when we had the privilege and the pleasure to go over and help Brother Jeremy there in North Dakota. He had some Mennonite come over and sat down in fellowship with us. Nice people. They treated us well. The Mennonite people came over. We were bringing food and stuff. But a Mennonite brother was there. But the Mennonite brother said, he said, I'm a Mennonite for one reason. He said, I believe it's the closest thing to the scriptures and the most accurate denominational church that there is. So I looked at him, I said, well, then you would believe and feel that I should be converted to a Mennonite then. Is that correct? And that's the way I approached him. But I said, but if that's what you think that I should do, which one of you Mennonite people do I convert to? And I explained to him about, and he knew of the dispute and the division with the Mennonite churches in Georgia over artificial insemination of cattle. They split. So which one do I go to? Do I go to the ones that put the big gloves on and work on the cows, or do I go to the one that don't do that? Which one do I go? I mean, hey, if I'm supposed to be a Mennonite, which one am I going to go to? It might sound foolish to you, but I'm truly posing a good question. So you see, this is why Brother Rob doesn't try to convert you. You know, if I'm out trying to win souls, I'm not going to try to convert you to be a Baptist, a Methodist, a Pentecostal, a Church of God, Assembly of God, Episcopalian, or whatever, Salvation Army, whatever. I'm not trying to do that. You know why? Because I'm trying to convert you to the Word of God and Christianity. Because I find truth in all of them. And there's not too much differences in all of them. The separations that are separating people, brothers and sisters, are very little things. And God suffers that. And I do break fellowship with people because of false doctrine. But on the other hand, the thing is that it would be nice if I could say if I wanted to understand Baptist doctrine, I'd go to the Baptists. Or if I wanted to understand the methods of worship, I'd go to the Methodists. If I wanted to understand universal church and the teaching of a universal church, I'd go to the Catholic. If I wanted to understand the priesthood or the presbytery, or maybe go to the Presbyterian, I don't know. I'm just saying, I wished it was that way, but it's not. This guy was coming with me, and he was troubled because he went to this man for some understanding on baptism. And when the man told him he didn't think it was necessary to be baptized, he thought, well, he surely can't have doctrine correct. Do I believe that baptism is necessary? Well, let me tell you this, what the last thing that Jesus said on this earth. Or should I ask you what he said? Go to Matthew 28:19. He commanded them to go into all the world and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And it was fulfilled in Acts, the second chapter, and they went and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So did he give us the authority and the power to remit sin? Well, that's what he evidently did. If he told us to go and baptize them in the name of Jesus for the remission, the authority and the power is in the name Jesus. There's no other one that can take away sin except Jesus. I can't do that as a man. But as a blood-bought, born-again child of God, being filled with the power of God and Him dwelling in me and me dwelling in Him, I'm in Him and Him in me. This is what He says in the Scriptures. Just believe the Word. And we go forth in the authority in His name. There's no other name given among men. There's a lot could be said there. Let's stand together. Brothers and sisters, take the Word. Read the Scriptures. Consider the Scriptures. Amen. Again, the only purpose I have is to teach God's Word. It's the Word of God I'm called in defense of, not the Word of man, not the Word of some denomination. I'm called in defense of the Word. I brought the Word to you tonight. I read the Scriptures, used the Scriptures for a background of the things that we read. If you don't understand some of the things I say, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that He can open up your understanding to understand these things. They're not complicated. They do take time sometimes to learn, to read, to understand, to pray about it, to comprehend it. God will help you. He'll open up your understanding. He'll open up your ears to hear. He'll open up your eyes to see. Amen. Again, as I've said in times past, if you disagree with me, please let me know where you disagree with me at. Do you disagree with me in the bodily realm, in the physical realm? You know, in the natural or the physical or the spiritual or in the body, the soul, the spirit. Do you disagree with me in the first heaven, the second heaven, or the third heaven? You see, because I speak by dimensional projection of the Word of God. If I speak to you by the Spirit, I'm going to speak like I did to you tonight, because the Bible commands me to pray in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches me to do. So this is the way I presented myself to you tonight. If you want to talk as men tonight, I could stand before you and say, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? It was appointed unto me once to die and the judgment of God. You know, I could speak that way, and I understand that, brothers and sisters. I deal with worldly people and natural and carnal people. I understand those things. But I'm speaking by the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of life to you, that you can understand who you are, for you're not moved by every wind of doctrine or tossed to and fro or like a man running and beating at the air. We need to get steady and sound in this Word of God and in this Bible. Amen. Amen. See, I'm not taking a hope of a rapture away. I believe exactly the way all of the churches are teaching it in that perspective, but I've just brought in to you in the thoughts of the spiritual rapture. There's a rapture in the spirit. There's a rapture in the daily perspective of the soul where we're catching up daily to the throne of God. The Bible says if we're going to mortify the deeds of the flesh daily, if we're taking up our cross daily, that's a daily crucifixion. And if we're catching ourselves up to the throne of God on a daily basis by transforming our mind into the mind of Christ, that's a daily rapture. See, I wake up in the morning, I'm dead and carnal as could be, man, in my first birth. But I've got to pray in the Spirit and talk with my Heavenly Father and get caught away on a daily basis with Him and fellowship with Him and sup with Him. That's a daily rapture, brother, a daily catching up to God. And then there's a bodily perspective where this body is changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. Sown telestial. You understand that? Raised celestial. Sown in iniquity, raised up in righteousness. You see, brother, sister, I understand those things. You know, so if we're going to talk about that rapture, the only way that one's going to take place is first the Spirit's got to be caught up. That one's going to take care of itself. But first off, the Spirit's got to be caught away, hid in with Christ. If your spirit isn't hid in, if you are not a new creature in Christ Jesus, if the old things haven't passed away and all things could come new, then you'll never see that rapture. You'll be like the Jews that crucify Him daily. You see, people crucify you on a daily basis. Man, this guy ain't right with God, and all you're doing is speaking the word. That's what they did to Jesus. That's a daily crucifixion. Amen. So believe the word, speak the word, trust the word. Put every hope and every faith in it. Amen. I love y'all and appreciate you. I appreciate the adequate time to speak God's word. Let's sing together. The altar is open.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.